Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We come before you asking for a blessing on this, your holy Sabbath day. Father, as we continue to look inwardly, as we continue to seek out any evil that is within us, we ask, Father, that you would truly bless us, that you would open our eyes, that you would help us to be able to see any wicked way that we have still within us. Help us not to look at others, Father, but to look at ourselves, to look at Yahshua the Messiah as our mirror, so that we can see our imperfection and that we can see the things that we need to change. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us to do your will. And help us, Father, to overcome our sinful nature as we seek to be servants of yours, those that are seeking to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for our sinful nature and our wickedness that is within us. We ask, Father, that you would truly raise up a righteous people to you in these last days, that you would touch our hearts and cause each one of us to humble ourselves before your mighty throne of grace, that we would walk in the footsteps of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, having his shed blood cleanse our sins, Father, because you know, as we know, that we're a sinful people. And we ask, Father, that you would help us. Help us overcome this world and Satan the devil through Yahshua's great sacrifice. And it's in his holy name that we come before you seeking this blessing. And we thank you for all things you've done for us, our life, health, and strength. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, Judging Ourselves First. Brethren, we don't know what our brother or sister is presently going through. All we can do is pray for them, that Almighty Yahweh will bring them through whatever trial or tribulation they're in. If they ask, help them. But we need to judge ourselves first. We want to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as our opening scripture. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 9. It says, "For do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah and in the spirit of our Elohim." So what Paul is telling us here, that all of these negative personalities, these covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, even idolaters and fornicators, it says, such were some of you. See, the key is that it was in our past. These are things that we got rid of. We've moved on. We've tried our best to be servants of Almighty Yahweh. And overcomers. But how do you overcome being an idolater or a thief or a covetous or a drunkard? You have to cease doing those things. You have to make those personal changes in your life. And that's important because the heritage that Yahweh has given us is a heritage that really of a high royal estate. Go back to verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 6. It says, dare any of you, having a matter against his neighbor, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And see, that shouldn't be an issue. We should be able to judge not only the smallest matters, but even larger, because our future, we're going to be judging angels according to the word. How much more? It says, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? See, we have to overcome this life. So we should be able to judge righteously the things that we have to deal with in this life. It says in verse 4, if then you have to judge things pertaining to this life, do you set them to judge who are of no account in the assembly? I say this to your shame. What can there not be found among you, one wise man who shall be able to decide between his brethren? Moses was that man who judged between his brethren back in the days when he brought Israel out of Egyptian captivity. Okay? We're in a different type of captivity today, brethren. We're captive to sin that the Satan, the devil, is trying to get everybody involved in. So therefore, through Yahshua's shed blood, we've got the victory over sin if we keep his commandments. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. No, already it is altogether a defect in you that you have lawsuits one with another. Why not rather take wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? No, but you yourselves do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Like I said in the introduction, you don't know what our brother and sisters are presently going through. All we can do is pray for them, that Almighty Yahweh will bring them through whatever trial or tribulation that they are presently in. See, it's easy for us to look at one another and say, you know what, I'm better than that person over there because they're doing thus and so, this and that. But we shouldn't be doing this. We should be looking at ourselves or at Yahshua the Messiah in that mirror and judge ourselves first. See? And not worry about anyone else. The scriptures tell us if we see our brother committing a sin to death, we should correct them, rebuke them. Okay? But it's sort of like walking around trying to pull out the small speck that is in your brother's eye when you got a beam in your own. We need to be concerned first with ourselves. Turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Our concentration is going to be today on judging ourselves first. And to do that, we're going to have to look very, very closely at the word. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, it says, the burden of the word of Yahweh concerning Israel. The word burden is another word for prophecy. Okay? In this manner, says Yahweh, who stretches forth the heaven and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling to all the peoples all around, and upon Judah also shall it be in the siege against Jerusalem. There's some things going on right now in the world that we're concerned with. We know that Jerusalem is like a center right now of a lot of problems. See? It says in verse 3, and it shall come to pass in that day. Now, I told you in the past, I even preached I don't think I recorded it, but I preached a sermon in Africa entitled In That Day, which I'm going to have to redo here. I may even do it during the Feast of Tabernacles. In That Day is a time stamp. It's talking about a particular time and space. Okay? It says, it shall come to pass in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples, and all that burden themselves with it shall be severely wounded, and all the nations of the earth shall be gathered together against it. They're gathered together against Jerusalem. In that day, says Yahweh, I will strike every horse with terror and his rider with madness, and I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah, Yehuda, those who worship Yahweh, and I will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness, and the chieftains of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength and Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim. Now, how many people in Jerusalem today worship Almighty Yahweh? Not very many. In that day will I make the chieftains of Judah like a pan of fire among wood, and like a flaming torch among sheaves, and they shall devour all the peoples all around, on the right hand and on the left. They of Jerusalem shall yet again dwell in their own place, even in Jerusalem. Yahweh also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem be not magnified above Judah. In that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. We know that David was the lion of Judah. He was a mighty warrior. And out of him came the true lion of Judah, Yahshua the Messiah. And the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem be not magnified above Judah. Oh, I went back. In that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them as at that day, shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Elohim, mighty one, Yahweh, as the angel of Yahweh before them. And we know the angel of Yahweh was Yahshua the Messiah. He was the mighty one who came in the Old Testament. He was the mighty one that did the creating. The angel of Yahweh. It's very important for us to understand what Yahweh is trying to get us to see here. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. So everyone that goes up against Yahweh's people will be destroyed. The word of Yahweh confirms this. Question is, do we believe it? And I will pour upon the house of David and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look to me whom they have pierced. And we know that Yahshua the Messiah was the one that was pierced by the Roman soldier. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of the Shemites apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. See, there's going to be some grieving going on. But those of us who have judged ourselves first will not need to be judged, because we're going to prepare ourselves. And that's what happens during this week, the days of awe, the 9 days from Yom Teruah up to the Day of Atonement. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. That's Ephesians 4, 17. It says, "This I therefore say and testify in Yahweh, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walked, in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of Elohim, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart." See, they're coming against Jerusalem. They're coming against Yahweh, because they are coming against Yahweh's people. And because they are not judging themselves by Yahshua, by the tenets of Yahweh's law, they're pretty much going along with the crowd. They're following the footsteps of the world. It says, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling gave themselves up to lasciviousness, these sins that we talked about earlier, okay, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you did not learn the Messiah, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Yahshua, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man corrupted by the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, that after Yahweh has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So what happens is that these people, and I'm not just saying Gentiles, I'm speaking of those who come against Jerusalem, all the nations, are in ignorance. They've been alienated from the life of Elohim. See? Because they're not keeping the commandments of Yahweh. And that's what they need to know. This is why they come against Jerusalem. They hate Yahweh's people. And you know why? Satan is motivating them to do so. They don't understand why they hate the Jews or Yahweh, those who worship Yahweh. It's very important that we understand, when we judge ourselves according to what? It's according to the commandments. See, you have people out here that have different levels of understanding, and they're judging themselves by themselves and not by Yahweh's word. And that's the difference between what we do and what we believe and the rest of the people out there in the world. If they're not judging themselves according to the law of Yahweh, how can they say we're righteous? Because righteousness is, according by definition in Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25, the keeping of the commandments. So if they're not keeping the commandments, they cannot righteously judge themselves. In verse 25 of Ephesians 4, it says, "Therefore, putting away falsehood, speak you truth, each one with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have something to give to him that has need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear." In other words, what comes out of your mouth should edify. It should raise people up, not tear people down. So think about, as you're judging yourself first, what comes out of your mouth? Is it for good, as I read for our daily devotion today, or is it for evil? I'll read verse 29 again. It says, "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, in which you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you in all malice, and be kind one to another." That's important, because you want people to be kind to you. So this is where the golden rule comes in. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because if you want people to be kind to you, be kind. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as Yahweh also in the Messiah forgave you. And this is what we're seeking, brethren. We're seeking the forgiveness of Almighty Yahweh. Okay? But how can we receive that forgiveness if we are holding grudges and we are not forgiving our brethren? If you're not forgiving other people, trust me, you're not going to receive the forgiveness of Almighty Yahweh. We have some work to do, brethren, before the Day of Atonement. We have to look into that mirror, and we have to judge ourselves first. Matthew chapter 18, very, very important scripture this time of year. We also look at it around Passover as we do our self-examination then. But in Matthew 18, 15 is a very, very important passage that we all are familiar with. It says, "And if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone." That's how you do it. You and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the assembly, the administration. And if he refuses to hear the administration, the assembly also, let him be to you as a Gentile and a publican. My son, truly I say to you, whatever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever things you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now think about this, okay? We are going to be judging angels in the future if we overcome. If we've judged ourselves first and we find ourselves in the kingdom, we're going to be judging angels. So it says in verse 10, "Truly I say to you, whatever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever things you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Well, we're going to continue on in verse 21. I want you to think about these things as you envision what it takes to judge ourselves first, because this is what we have to do. And if we do it righteously, then we're not going to be pointing fingers at one another. Then Peter came and said to him, "Rabbi, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times?" Yahshua says to him, "I say not to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven." That's a lot of times. But he's telling him, you still have to be willing to forgive. As often as your brother comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you must give it. If you want to be forgiven. You know, there are some that won't forgive. We'll see that as we continue in this passage. Verse 23. "Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But since, as he had not with which to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And the master of that servant, being moved with compassion, he was moved with love, which is what Yahweh did for each and every one of us. He was moved with love, and he sent us Yahshua the Messiah. And the master of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings, which is nothing compared to the 10,000 talents. And he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and supplicated him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. And he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay that which was due. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their master. And see, our master is Almighty Yahweh. And if someone goes to Yahweh against us, if we're not forgiving, then this will happen to us, brethren. Then his master called him and says to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you supplicated me. Should not you have also had mercy on your fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you? And the answer is yes, we should have mercy because Yahweh's having mercy on us. And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do to you if you forgive not everyone his brother from your hearts. And this is what we have to do, brethren. We have to show that forgiveness 100%. It can't be 99.9%. It's got to be 100%. Because if we hold in reserve even the smallest amount of hate, the smallest amount of irreverence, the smallest amount of sin, it's going to come back to us. It's going to be found in us. And Yahweh is going to then judge us worthy of death because we did not accept the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. We have to be willing to forgive each and every person that has sinned against us. If we want that same forgiveness, turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, What advantage then does the worshiper of Yahweh have? Or what profit of circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of Yahweh, the law of Yahweh. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make no effect the faithfulness of Yahweh? By no means. Yes, let Yahweh be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your words and might prevail when you come into judgment. And we're going through a period of judgment right now, brethren. Each and every one of us, we're going through this period of judgment. Okay? So each day, as we approach the Day of Atonement, we have to look at ourselves and judge ourselves first so that we don't receive the judgment from Almighty Yahweh. Verse 5, it says, But if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of Yahweh, what shall we say? Is Yahweh unrighteous who visits with wrath? No, we can't say that. I speak after the manner of men, by no means. For then how shall Elohim judge the world? But if the truth of Yahweh through my lie increased to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not? As we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose condemnation is just. What then, are we better than they are? No, and no me, no I. For we are all under sin. Excuse me, as it is written, there is none that does righteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. There are none that understand. There are none that seek Elohim. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There are none that do good, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, an open grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. And you know for a fact that many of us have said things evil about someone else. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed innocent blood. Shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and their way of peace they have not known. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. No, now, we know that whatever things the law says, it speaks to them that are under the penalty of the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be brought under the judgment of Yahweh. And the world is under the judgment of Yahweh because Yahweh has standards. He has commandments that he has instituted for us to live by. And we have to judge ourselves by those commandments. It says, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now apart from the law, a righteousness of Yahweh has been manifested, being witnesses by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of Yahweh through faith in Yahshua the Messiah to all them that believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. I'm going to read that a second time for you. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. So none of us can walk around with our chest puffed out saying how righteous we are or how holy we are. See? Because all have sinned. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Messiah Yahshua, whom Yahweh set forth to be an atonement, a propitiation, through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins formerly committed in the forbearance of Yahweh. And that's what happened. He passed over our sins by his blood. Just like back in the days in Egypt when the blood was pasted or painted on the lintel so that the death angel would pass over those homes and not kill the firstborn. Yahweh has passed over our sins because of Yahshua's blood. Where then, in verse 27, is the glory in? It is excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is Yahweh the Elohim of the worshiper of Yahweh's only? Is he not the Elohim, the mighty one of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. If so be that Yahweh is one, which we know he is, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make the law of no effect through faith? By no means. No, we establish the law. The law is established, and it's established for us to keep the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start verse 1. And see, this is only if we judge ourselves first, brethren. It says, be you therefore imitators of Yahweh as beloved children, and walk in love, even as the Messiah also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for an odor of a sweet smell. See, he overcame this world and temptation of Satan the devil for us. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you, as become saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting which are not befitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Yahweh, in the kingdom of the Messiah and Yahweh. Let no man deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the sons of disobedience. See? If we're obedient and we're judging ourselves, keeping the commandments, or because we've accepted the blood of Yahshua the Messiah and we've fallen in one way, he'll lift us up. He'll pick us up. It says the righteous falls seven times and rises yet again. So it tells us that there are going to be some bumps in the road in our lives. None of us are perfect. But it's through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah that we have the ability to overcome. This is why we need to judge ourselves first and not point fingers or go after other people. Verse 7, be not therefore partakers with them, for you were once darkness. We were all in darkness at one time, but are now light in Yahweh. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is well-pleasing to Yahweh, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them for the things which are done by them in secret. It is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For everything that is made manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and the Messiah shall shine upon you. Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, be not foolish, but understand what the will of Yahweh is. And be not drunken with wine, in which is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a choice, brethren. It's a choice to be drunken with wine or strong drink of this age. It's telling us to be filled with the Spirit. You can't do both. See? There's a time to drink and rejoice, but still there's a limit to it. You can't do it to your own hurt. So you end up with cirrhosis of the liver because you've imbibed a bit too much. Speaking one to another in psalms, anthems, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to Yahweh, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah to Yahweh, even the Father, subjecting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Messiah. So there's a purpose for our subjecting one another. It says, and then it goes through other, reasons or purposes as far as subjecting, wives being subjected to your husbands, children to your parents, servants to your masters, talking about those to your employers. We have to be faithful in each situation that we find ourselves. Judging ourselves first. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn back over there. We'll start in verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. It says, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed him. This is Yahweh, purposed Yahshua, okay? And revealed to us the wisdom. When we have our redemption and forgiveness of our sins through Yahshua the Messiah. It's nothing we've done of our own selves, brethren. It's what Yahshua has done for us. Verse 10, to a dispensation of the fullness of the times to sum up all things in the Messiah, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. In him, I say, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose to him who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we should be to the praise of his glory, we who have before hoped in the Messiah, in whom you also, having heard the word of truth, the good tidings of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance, to the redemption of Yahweh's own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Master Yahshua, which is among you, and the love which you show toward all the saints. So Paul is telling these Ephesians, you know, he's heard of the love that they have toward one another. And we have to have that same love, brethren. We have to have that same love. And the reason we have to have that love is because the love that was manifested toward us through our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Who have believed our message? Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? The arm of Yahweh, that's the servant of Yahweh. The right hand of Yahweh, Yahshua the Messiah. For he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, struck of Elohim, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Yahweh has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He took our sins, brethren, every one of them. This is why we have to look into that mirror. We have to judge ourselves first. Because Yahshua the Messiah has taken on all our sin. Verse 7, he was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth as a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that before its shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? And that's each one of us. Yahshua died for our sins. He didn't die for his own because he was sin free. He died for us. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. None was found. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge of himself. Shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. And truly Yahshua has borne all of our sins. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession for each and every one of us, brethren. That's Yahshua the Messiah. If Yahshua did all this for us, what can we do for others? Are we greater than he? No, we're not. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Remember, we got to judge ourselves first, brethren. Matthew 26:26. It says, and as they were eating, Yahshua took bread and blessed it and broke it. And he gave to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, drink all of you out of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many to remission of sins. That's forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I shall not drink from now on of the fruit, of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So there is hope. There is direction. There is something that we are seeking. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. It says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and Yahshua the Messiah, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also the whole world. For he died for everyone. But we have to judge ourselves first so that we can see that we'll be a part of that kingdom. Everyone in the world doesn't have that knowledge. That's our purpose. We have to go out and fulfill Matthew 28:16-20, the Great Commission, and teach this. Make disciples of all nations. That's our calling. That's what he wants us to do. Verse 3, and by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of Yahweh has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. He that says he remains in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And that's for sure, brethren. If we believe Almighty Yahweh is the servant, the son of Yahweh, Yahshua is the son of Yahweh, then we have to walk in his footsteps. Turn to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. Starting in verse 1. We're back to that, in that day, that time stamp. In that day, There shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass, says Yahweh of hosts, it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that procreated him shall say to him, you shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of Yahweh. And his father and his mother that procreated him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of the vision, when he prophesies. Neither shall they wear a hairy mantle to deceive. They're not going to be dressed like John the Baptist or Eliah, because, you know, to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a tiller of the ground, for I have been made a bondman from my youth. And one shall say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, says Yahweh of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says Yahweh, two parts in it shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left in it. And I will bring the third part into the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my Elohim. Almighty Yahweh is blessing the people in the last days. Those are the people who are judging themselves first. How can we judge angels if we can't judge ourselves, brethren? It's easy to point the finger at someone, but we need to learn to judge ourselves critically and not others. Leave that up to the true judge, Yahshua the Messiah. If we love one another, we will not seek to judge others, but we will concentrate on our own faults and shortcomings. Each one of us must practice love first and judging ourselves first. Then Almighty Yahweh will pass on us. He's going to bless us, as it says in Zechariah chapter 13. Two-thirds are going to be destroyed. And we know that's going to happen soon in the Great Tribulation. But a third are going to come through the fire. A third. But that third is going into the kingdom. And they're going to be the little ones. See, the first fruits of the 144,000 are going to rise to meet Yahshua in the air. They're going to be a part of this kingdom, the thousand-year millennium, to teach these young people the law of Yahweh. See? But we first have to be critically judging ourselves first and not judging each other. We have to love one another, which is what Yahweh is teaching us. If we love even our enemies, then we've overcome the world. And we're walking in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. We see all of what Yahshua went through to save us. Let us receive that salvation by judging ourselves first. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to do His will by judging yourselves first. May Almighty Yahweh bless you. At this time, if you arise, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, seeking, Father, your favor, seeking a blessing from you. During these days of awe, Father, help us to critically look at ourselves and not one another. Help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Truly, Father, we know that you are our hope. You are what we seek. We want to be a part of your kingdom. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to be faithful. Let us not be critical of each other. Let's not look at one another's faults, but let us look at our own. Let us look at Yahshua the Messiah, who died for our sins to bring us through the fire, Father, so that we would overcome this world and be a part of your kingdom, which is soon coming. Help us, Father, as we try to direct our focus on the type of the kingdom of Yahweh, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Day of Atonement, which is soon coming upon us. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us to overcome this life and Satan the devil as we seek to be more like Yahshua the Messiah. And we ask, Father, that we would forgive one another as we would want the forgiveness ourselves. And we thank you, Father, for the great sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah, his shed blood, and giving us the opportunity of life everlasting. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. For our closing song, brethren,